So the 11th parak in Melachim Aleph is very controversial. As I said, this parak that we're now going to begin is going to be the last parak that will mention anything about Shlomo. In fact, if you would see at the very, very end, so a relatively long chapter, which will probably take more than 1 week to finish, the very last sentence, which is Pasuk Mem Gimel, says, Vayishkav Shlomo. Which is talking about his passing away. So we already, this will be the last chapter discussing Shlomo HaMelech's reign and life. So a lot obviously is going to happen in this chapter, and this is what he is more famous or infamous for, the accumulation of many wives. Let's begin Pasuk Aleph. There's a lot to discuss. Hopefully we'll at least like to see at least the first maybe 4 or 5 sentences. We'll see how much we can accomplish. HaMelech Shlomo Ohav Nashim. Nachrios, exactly. Not only did he love women, but he loved non-Jewish women. Rabos, many of them. Vespas Paro. He also loved the daughter of Paro.
Wasn't she
in Akiva? So that itself seems like, isn't she included in that list? So in the middle of this pasuk, let's just look at Rashi. Vespas Paro. Af Himin Hanachrios. Rashi says, it's true, as you asked. She's also among the Nachrios. She was among the foreign women, as it's translated. So why is she excluded? She was his favorite, and therefore she deserves special recognition. That's one explanation as to why she's mentioned. Another interpretation of why she's mentioned, I think I underlined it, maybe. Another reason why she's mentioned is because she was really the first one that he married. Well, like, we'll see this in the Radak. She was the first person that he ended up marrying, which he shouldn't have. And this was kind of like the beginning of his downfall by marrying her. And then by doing that, he marries others as well. So let's conclude the rest of this pasuk. Moavios, Ammonios, Admonios, Sedinios, Hachitios. All these different women from all these different nations. Now, some of them, not only is it a problem that they were Nachrios, but some of them also came from the Zion Amim, the seven nations of Canaan, which there's an additional prohibition in marrying such women. So let's look at the Radak, which is the before the medium-sized lines, the beginning of Pasuk Aleph, Nashim Nachrios Rabos. So Radak tells us that Shtayim Ra'os also. He did 2 things wrong. Achas Shir B'Noshim. First of all, he had many wives. V'afil Hoyim Yisrael also Lola Harbos. Even if he married all nice Jewish girls, still he's not allowed to do that. Kamosha Kosu V'lo Yarbalo Nashim. He's not allowed to have many wives. V'lo Yasu Levavo. So that your heart will not be estrayed. And it's derived, as we'll see, it's 18. 18 is the amount that's not too much. Sounds like too much for me, but apparently it's not, according to the for a king, too much. Any more than 18, a Jewish king is not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Kol Shechin. So the first mistake was he married more than 18. And we're going to see in Pasuk Gimel precisely how many wives he had. I'll tell you. I'll spare this suspense. 1,000. Kol Shekain Shehayu Nacharios Shehatu Levavo Achrei Elohim Acherim. All the more so is there a prohibition of marrying these foreign women that would easily cause his heart to stray after they were engaged in worshipping Elohim Acherim. Idol worship. They worshipped Elohim Acherim, which is the Vodah Zarah. V'hu Batach B'Chachmasim. So now the Radak is asking the question, how could he have done such a thing? How could he go out of his way and do such a thing? So, first of all, it doesn't mean, as it's explained at length in the English on page 117, that he intermarried. We're not going to have the audacity to say that King Solomon, this great man, actually married non-Jews. Obviously, they converted. They converted. But the question is, maybe they weren't 100%, they didn't buy into the whole thing. And when you convert, one of the important aspects of conversion is Kabbalat HaMitzvot. You have to accept the mitzvos, which includes don't worship idols, which was the tradition of those four nations. So, still he made a mistake. How could he have done it? The Torah says explicitly, don't marry a lot of wives. Kings are not allowed to, right? So, how could he do it? And here's the key. Behu batach b'chachmasa. Sometimes knowledge is a very dangerous thing. Because when you think you're smart, you think that none of the rules apply to you. These rules apply to the regular folk. For me, I'm a chacham. I'm smart. These rules don't apply to me. So because he had faith in his own knowledge, the Omer, he said, Ani arba, I'll have many wives. V'lo asur. It's not going to cause any problem. My heart's not going to go astray. Everything will be fine. Of course, it didn't work out that way. They ended up worshipping idols to the point, as we'll see in a moment, that it's going to say in Pasuk Hey that he worshipped the idols. He worshipped the Avodah Zarah, which is unbelievable. We're going to have to explain what that really means in a second. But let's continue in the Radak, first wide line. Again, I'm saying it's strong, but we have to, of course, be very careful and sensitive when we're dealing with such a great person like Shlomo Melech to not say that he made such mistakes. We have to understand it better. Zehu Sha'amar HaNavi Ayiz Halel Chacham B'Chachmasa. First wide line, that it says in Yirmiyah that you should not be praised, you should not be overconfident, a Chacham with his Chachmah. The fact that you're wise, don't allow your wisdom to get the best of you. Because sometimes when a person has Chachmah, the rest of the Pasuk, wealth, strength, so those different skills or qualities that you have may end up causing you to be a Baal Gaiva, and you may not really be grounded like you need to be, to realize that those things are not necessarily going to apply to make you an exceptional person. You have to have Yiras Hashem, which is the rest of the pasuk. You have to fear God. That's the key. Umasha Omer v'Eis Bas Paro. Oh, so here we go. Why does it exclude Bas Paro? So we saw Rashi because he loved her as much as all the other wives. Ki Haisa Techilas HaKalkala. This is where I saw it. The Radak says that this was the beginning of his downfall. Afal pi shehi lo etaso es lavavo ad shehir benashim nacharios leisik naso. Only once he became older, weaker, more tolerant of what was going around him, not willing to speak up, only then did really the daughter Paro also start her ways of worshipping idols. Dehitu es lavavo. Velosh avod avodas gilulim. Not that he worshipped the idols, but he allowed them to continue to worship the idols. He was, he allowed them, he sat back and allowed his wives to make the mistake of worshipping idols.
So
why does it say, oh, so that's, right, so it sounds like he's the one who did it himself. So, before we address that question, which the Radak is going to answer that question directly. The other important point that we just saw is that techilas hakalkala. That sometimes a person says, you know what, I'm a tzaddik, I'm a decent person, so I can make one mistake. So you do one thing wrong. The problem is once you start doing one thing wrong, what ends up happening is you may end up doing more and more and more until you're completely out of control. And that's what happened. Once Shlomo married the Bas Paro, so once he did that one mistake, we can go all the way back. That was the tipping point. That was the crossroads where he could have married her or not married her. By marrying her, he went down this path, and unfortunately, he ended up doing all these other mistakes. So sometimes in our lives, one action that we do, even though at the time seems insignificant or unimportant, it will have ramifications for all of the many things that we will do in the future, as well as how it will impact many of the people around us. That's right. And that's what we see over here, clearly.
Are we familiar with any Jewish wives that he had?
Yes, he had many Jewish wives.
His first wife, his second wife.
We're going to see who his children, are, and who end up becoming the successor to the throne. But as of now, we're introduced to his mistakes, not the things that he did
right.
Correct.
We don't know any specific Jewish.
It doesn't talk about anything about who he married, because with you know, someone who he did correctly, he was correctly married to.
When he was king, when he first became king, was he a married? No, he was a kid. He was young.
Right. The question is, what happened in between that? So the it's not necessarily mentioned exactly what occurred, but it's an important point to maybe see. Hopefully the Sukkim will enlighten us when it comes to his, who his children will be, who his wives are. So let's conclude this Radak, which addresses the other question. How could the Pasuk say that he worshipped the idols? He didn't worship the idols. He did not. So what do you mean he did not? How could the Radak, how could our sages say that he did not worship the idols when the sentences clearly indicate that he did? So the Radak says as follows, very important and powerful line that's very meaningful to us. Even though it said, apparently it sounds like he built all these altars for idol worship, doesn't mean that he actually built them. He allowed it to be built. But it says that Shlomo built it in verse 7. So this here are the key words. I'm going to explain a little bit better in the Sefer Otzim Mefarshim. Shaniach livnos v'micha behen. He did not allow it to be. He allowed it to be built v'micha behen, and he did not protest. He did not say a word. What does that mean? So basically, we can understand what the Radak is really trying to say. But I'd like to share with you a little bit stronger from the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says that we should not think for a moment that Shlomo actually sinned. Kol oimer Shlomo chata. Anyone who says that Shlomo sinned by worshipping an idol, enu elotoa. It's a mistake. Don't think it's true. Because you'll see later on, also in this chapter, in Pasuk Dalid, it says that v'lo hoya levavu sholem im Hashem elkav kilavav David aviv. That he was not on the same level as his father, David. So what does that mean? Doesn't mean that he was an idol worshiper. The fact that you're saying David and Shlomo in the same breath indicates that, okay, so Shlomo was not as great as David. It doesn't. If he was an idol worshiper, we wouldn't have said such a thing. So, but what does it mean that it says that he worshipped idols when he built these altars? So this is the sentence I want to share from you in the Gemara and Shabbos, which is not in front of us. He should have protested about his wives, Shechatu, that were sinning, he did not say a word. Since he sat quietly while someone else was sinning, worshipping an idol, the Torah considers as though he's the one that sinned, which is an unbelievable thing. That even though Shlomo didn't worship an idol, he would never think a million years worshipping an idol, right? But the fact that he saw someone else doing something wrong, and he said nothing, he also is held accountable for it. And of course, you can understand what we can glean from that. It's a very powerful thing. We see that in Jewish law, there's a concept, shtika koda. When you're silent, it's as though you're admitting to what's going on. By you not protesting, you're giving an indication that it's okay what's happening. We actually find this when it came to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. There's a famous story in the Gemara in Gittin called Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Right? And people are familiar with the story that they gave the wrong invitation. The guy came and it was an arch enemy. He was infuriated that his enemy came to his party. He said, you know what, please, it's a huge party. Don't embarrass me. At least I'll pay for half of it. Get out. I'll pay the whole party. No. And they kicked him out. And it says the sages were there. Everyone was there. They didn't say anything. And because of that, this guy got very upset. And he ended up causing problems for the Jewish people. Ultimately, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash came about because of this problem. So, Rabbi Lieberman, who was a Judaic director in Stanford, used to always say this over. He said, who was the person that made the mistake in that story? So maybe it was the person who gave the invitation. No, he made a mistake. Maybe you could say it was the host for being so insensitive as to not allow the person to stay. So Rabbi Lieberman says the person who is most held accountable were the sages, were those rabbis that were in attendance of this party. They saw what happened, and they didn't speak up. The fact that they didn't speak up, he understood that it wasn't just the host, but it was everyone else that agreed. Even though they didn't say anything. But by not saying anything, you're condoning such behavior, as though to say that it's okay to kick this person out of this party. And perhaps this is the message also over here, that Shlomo is also held accountable, even though he didn't actually worship the idol. The Torah says, you worship the idol. The fact that you saw someone worshiping an idol and you didn't make a big deal about it shows that you don't think it's a big deal. And therefore, it's as though you yourself allow it. And perhaps on another level, if you can imagine, his wife is bowing down to an idol and he's sitting over here reading the newspaper, not caring. A third party overseeing it would look at it and say, gee, it must not be a big deal. You must be allowed to worship idols. Because if the king, this great man, is allowing this in his presence, it must be all right. It must not be a problem. And therefore, he's held accountable for it as though he's the one that actually worshipped the idol. That was the mistake that he made. So let's see the next couple of psukim, and then we'll just talk about one other piece, and we'll stop. Pasuk Beis. Min hagoyim asher amar Hashem el bnei Yisrael lo sabu bahem. Even among the nations that God said, do not lo sabu bahem, do not marry into them. Vehem lo yabu bahem. They cannot marry you, you can't marry them, you can't marry their daughters, your daughters can't marry to them. Achein, and truthfully, this is what happened. Be'emes, says Mesudas Sion, Yato es levavchem, achrei Eloheihem. It'll cause that the hearts will turn away, and you'll end up worshipping idols. They'll worship idols. You'll end up, your spirituality will decline because you're surrounding yourself with negative people. When you're around negative people, you become a negative person. You surround yourself with sinful people, so it affects you. Behem Davak Shlomo Abba. These were the people that Shlomo chose to connect to and to have a relationship and to show love toward. But just see Pasuk Gimel. Vehilo Nashim Saros Shvameos. So you don't think I made this up. He had 700 wives. Upilagshim, when it came to the concubines, Shol Shmeos, he had 300 additional. Vyatu Nashim Es Liboy. And his heart swayed, his wives swayed his heart.
What is Soros?
Soros has to do with like co-wives. Right? When you have more than one wife, they're called Soros. Right? It's translated over here, there were noble women. Okay, like a Tsar. It was, I guess, another language. Tsar is a leader. Soros also represents that they are co-wives. So if we look in the Radak over here in Pasuk Beis, Losabubahem, Kamosha Kosad, the Pasuk says, there's a Torah prohibition of intermarriage. And intermarriage is derived from the following sentence in the Torah. V'lo tischaten bam. Comes the word achasana. Achasana, that word, comes from the Torah. V'lo tischaten bam. You're not allowed to have a wedding with them. You're not allowed to marry them. Bidcha lo sitin livno. Your daughters, you cannot give to their children. Vito lo sikach livnecha. And daughters, you cannot take to their sons. V'yavol pishar mezeh b'shivagoyim. The truth is that sentence is only referring to the not marrying to those seven nations of the Canaanites. Who adin l'chol shar the gilulim? Any person who is an idol worshiper falls under that category. Elafi shahoyu boyim ba'artzam hasir maleihem. Alim hayameshiv osam l'das Israel. If they would instead embrace the laws of the Jewish people, loy aser, then it wouldn't be a problem to marry them. Im hayu misgayerus melev sholem, if they wholeheartedly converted, lo machmas yirav yava. But the reason why they convert is for genuine, sincere reasons. Then, of course, we embrace gerim. Converts are accepted and need to be loved as someone who is born as a Jew, as opposed to a Jew by choice. So the reality is that there's nothing wrong. But these people that he married did not let go of their past, did not let go of the idol worship that they had. So there's a lot to discuss. I just want to share with you a couple of thoughts, and then we'll stop in like 2 minutes. If you look on page 117, the bottom paragraph, it's very interesting how he thought he lived in the times of Mashiach, and perhaps that's why he was allowed to go against certain laws, but you can see that the paragraphs above, bless you, but we can see over here it says, he took hundreds of wives not to satisfy his passions. God forbid. Of course not. That would be the simple explanation, which we're not going to accept. Because, well, first of all, 1,000 wives, I mean, I can't even, what? For that, he need not have gone beyond the borders of his own country and people. He wanted to bring love of God to all the nations. And in the terminology of Kabbalah, he wanted to draw forth the sparks of holiness that lay dormant in the nations. Skipping a few sentences, he was hoping that he would change them. Instead, unfortunately, they changed him. Lofty though his intentions were, he erred. No human being, not even Solomon, can allow his convictions to supersede the commandments of the Torah. Now, and if we skip to where it says the Talmud on the right side, it says the Talmud in Masechta Shabbos on Nun Vav Amud Beis relates that when Solomon married the Egyptian princess, the angel Gabriel drove a rod into the sea. A landmass collected around, and eventually the city of Rome, city of the empire that destroyed the second temple, was built on it. And we also mentioned, not only did that happen, also we saw that when he perhaps had the union with Queen Sheba, she ended up having a child, assuming that they had a relationship, they were married, then they ended up having Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first temple. So Shlomo was instrumental in destroying the first temple and destroying the second temple. Commentators explain that the Talmud means to symbolize that a moral decline set in with the marriage, and it eventually led to catastrophe. The Beis HaMikdash represents spirituality. So by what he was doing was destruction of that spirituality. Of course, he may have thought that by marrying them would be a way to spread the words of God to the whole world. It backfired. Perhaps he also did it as a way to be able to be politically strong, to have relationships with all different countries, and be married to all these powerful Saros, noble women, not just regular women, but let's say princesses. So therefore, just like the king of Egypt wouldn't start up with him after he's married to his daughter, so maybe that's what he did for all the other ones. It backfired, and we'll discuss more about why he did this and what he did wrong next time.